I think it's going to be important and encouraging for our hearts this morning. Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Oh, to see your power and your glory, so as I have seen you in the sanctuary. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. And so I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul will be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Father, we give you this time for your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In the middle of our Bibles, we could turn the screen off if we could. In the middle of our Bibles, we have the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a songbook. It's a book of praise. It's a window into the heart of a spirit-filled believer who has praise and worship, something that is rising from his heart to heaven. And praise must be connected to something. Praise is connected to something. If you look at the first phrase in the book of Psalms, does anyone know what it is? Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man. And the last phrase in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 150, is praise you the Lord. Blessed is the man, and praise you the Lord. They are connected. But when there is a sense and a growing understanding of his great grace on my life, that I am a man who has been blessed, who has been forgiven, who has been loved, whose prayers have been answered, who has seen the faithful hand of God extended in my life. Oh, blessed is the man, and then, oh, the fruit of my lips. Praise to my God. Our praise is connected to something. And that wonderful phrase at the end of Psalms, in fact, that last verse, Psalm 150, verse 6, says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then the camera turns to us personally and says, you praise the Lord. I don't know about everything else that has breath. I don't know about every other person, every other churchgoer. I know he is worthy of the praise of all, but this I know, I will praise him. Praise you, the Lord. And Psalm, we read in Psalm 146, verse 1, praise you, the Lord. Psalm 147, verse 1, praise you, the Lord. Psalm 148, verse 1, you praise the Lord. Psalm 149, verse 1, praise you, the Lord. In Psalm 150, verse 1, I'll leave that to your imagination. Praise the Lord. Praise is connected to something. We read in Psalm 143, verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all of your works. I muse on the work of your hands, and I spread out my hands to you. You see that? I muse on the works of your hands, and I spread out my hands to you. There is a connection. There is a pondering, a selah is the word in the Psalms we read. It means a pause, to take pause, to take time, to focus, to consider. And how we would do ourselves a service, to consider it well. To count his benefits, to consider his blessings, to hit the pause button in our life often, in the early hours of the morning and the late hours of the night, that we would pause, we would ponder, we would say, Selah. We would say, oh, blessed is the man, and praise the Lord. He is good. Psalm 104:34, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. They're connected. My meditations of him and then the gladness in my life, the spring that overflows from these truths, these part of our blessed experience as believers. For this is not theology alone. This is not some dry creed pinned on the wall. This is not theory. But this is our blessed experience. It is God in our lives, answering, ministering, speaking, living. How can I be quiet? How can I be a believer who is dry or bored or weary if that is living in our lives and in our hearts? It's David in his great Psalm of Praise 145. He says, I will extol you. Extol, what does that mean? The word means to lift up high, to raise on high, to set up on high. He says, I will bless you. The word means to bow the knee in adoration, in praise and thankfulness. And then he says, I will praise your name always. The Hebrew word halal, hallelujah. I will show forth, I will boast in, I will celebrate, I will foolishly rave. For greatly to be praised, or another translation says, so worthy to be praised is our God. That's a man who understands something. That's a man who's experienced something, who has tasted something, who has seen something. That's a man who is so aware of the grace of God in his life that he lives with a purposed awareness of the grace, of the blessings, of the mercy in his life. That you would speak to him and David would say, oh, who am I that his great grace has been bestowed upon me this way? Oh, I will extol him, I will bless him, I will praise him. And there may be another man looking at David's life and hearing the praise and seeing the devotion and not understanding. They see the outward, but they may not understand the inward. The grace is in the heart and in the life. Where there is a wonder, there is a fable in Thurber's Modern Fables back in the 30s. He wrote one called The Unicorn in the Garden. And in that fable, the husband is eating his scrambled eggs and he looks out of the window. Maybe we could just shut that back door, please. He's looking out of the window and he sees a unicorn in the garden. Beautiful white unicorn with a gold horn, and there is wonder fills his heart. And he goes and tells his wife, and she doesn't believe him, and she shrugs him off. He goes back down, looks again, and the fable goes on. But this point I would make: I wonder if every morning he would go to the window. I wonder if every morning he would go out and watch the unicorn munching on the roses. I wonder if every morning he would look forward to the wonder that would fill his heart when he would see it once again. But we can lose the wonder. You're just eating your scrambled eggs and the curtains are drawn. You lose the wonder. And there is not the seeking and the passion and the desire and the hunger. So the fire has dimmed. And it happens. Sadly, churches are filled around the world and in our land with people who are going through the motions, and they repeat sayings, bless the Lord and bland also with you, and they repeat the hymns and the creeds, and there is something missing. There is a form of godliness that denies the power. There is an empty shell and something that is desperately missing. That it all can be reduced to words. It can all just be reduced to form. If you take the presence of God out of the temple, it's just a building. Most important thing can be lost. And I don't know about you, but I think, oh, that's a horrifying thought. That's a fearful thought. For a pastor, for a church, for a believer, when I consider my faith, oh, may I run down the stairs, run to the window. I want to look out into the garden. I want to see it. I want to seek God afresh. I want there to be a hunger and a desire. I want to live with a vengeance against the familiarity and the passivity of my own flesh. I want to be disciplined. I want to realize that sometimes my flesh might not feel like it, but I drag my flesh because my spiritual man needs to be quickened, needs to hear the word of God. But churches grow old. Churches grow cold. Churches are filled with mold. I can't think of any others that might rhyme with that. It can happen with churches, and it can happen with believers, that we get familiar. One thing I love about my daughter Emily, drives us crazy sometimes, but she is amazed by things. We'll be talking, she'll go, "Oh, look!" And we'll look over there, and there's a tree and a few red leaves on it. She, "Oh, it's so beautiful!" And we'll go, "Okay, Emily, just calm it down a bit." But I've learned to take pause and say, you know what? Actually, that is beautiful, right? Actually, that really is beautiful. That does deserve a moment of wonder. And how easily we can live our lives and we can lose that. And we can see the wonder of a child and we've grown into grumpy old adults who don't have the time for it. And that can happen in our Christian life too. We lose the wonder. And instead of growing free and filled with praise and edifying words, we become critical. And there's more murmuring in the church than there is praise. Not here. I'm speaking theoretically, but potentially. Right? So the awareness of that is so important, because we say, oh, that's, we make a determined stance in our decision in our life not to let that happen. We realize that there is something that we have stewardship over to ensure that that doesn't happen. And we're not just talking about singing praises on a Sunday morning, although we love that, but we're talking about a spirit-filled life. We're speaking about morning, noon, and night. We're speaking about all week, all year, all of our life, to be filled with God. Isn't it a sad thing? You go into a church and you feel like, did someone die? Is this a funeral? What's happened? Where's the joy? Where's the hunger? Where is the panting? That's an interesting word the psalmist uses in Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants after you. The thirst, the desire. And we read Psalm 63 in the beginning. Early will what? Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. And so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and glory. Oh, there it is. Wonder. Wow. Praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands to your name. Church history testifies to it, that there was a time, a man, a movement, a revival, and then a few generations go by and the church is like an empty museum. I spoke to someone, in fact, recently, and they said, oh, sadly, last year our gospel hall closed down. I said, why? They said, oh, no one was coming. I drove through another village the other day, and above on the house it said the chapel, but it was now a house that someone was living in. And I was thinking, well, what is the history there in this village? One time there was probably like a congregation and a pastor and a little revival and glowing hearts and people going to church with a song and an expectation, and they're leaving with a hallelujah, and then, you know, but what happened? Something was lost. Became like a museum. Imagine you go to a museum and you see, what's this? This is Beethoven's piano. Wow. Okay. But where's the music? Right? Where's the music? That's the point. And of course, that's what we get the point. It's wonderful. I'd love to see Beethoven's piano, but that's You understand the point? It's the music, it's the life, it's the melody. That's the issue. Proverbs 24, verse 30 says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it, and I received instruction. What a graphic picture. He's walking and he looks at a vineyard and he remembers when it used to be fruitful. He remembers eating of the fruit of that person's life. He remembers the fellowship, the faith, the vision, the joy. And he walks past the vineyard, so to speak, and he sees that it is overgrown and nettles and the wall is broken down. And he says, and I considered it well. Not with judgment, but there by the grace of God go I. That could happen, that I could lose the most important thing and my vineyard could become something that is not fruitful. There is not the fruit of the Spirit. Something has been sadly lost. Ichabod is the word. Remember that word? You know that word? You don't want to call your child Ichabod. It is from 1 Samuel chapter 4. The word means, where is the glory? That's what the word means. And Phinehas' wife named her son Ichabod when she heard that the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen by the Philistines, had been taken. And she was just giving birth and she said, his name shall be Ichabod because the glory has departed. And that kid growing up saying, boy, thanks, Mom, for calling me Ichabod. The glory has departed. But you know what is a better name? Emmanuel. God with us. And that's what we must yearn for as believers. That's what we must pant after and desire and seek after. We say, I'm not satisfied with anything else. But I want to sense the presence of God in my midst, in my life, speaking to me, quickening my heart afresh. Emmanuel, God with us. Psalm 27:8, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face I will seek. But you know what? If you don't look for it, you may not find it. If you don't seek it, you may not get it. If you don't hunger after it, you may not be fed. For God feeds the hungry. God honors those who seek him. We want to seek him. For it's important to know that our soul cleaves to the dust, right? Psalm 119:25, the psalmist says, oh, my soul cleaves to the dust. Just gravitates right to the dust. If it's left to itself, this is what will happen. My soul will cleave to the dust, to the earthly, to the temporal, to the natural. But the B part of the verse says, oh, quicken me according to your word. And this is a crucial principle for understanding for all of us as believers, that my soul cleaves to the dust, but he quickens me according to his word. I understand this phenomena. I understand this will happen even on a daily basis, but much more as the days and the weeks go by, I will gravitate to the natural and I will lose the most important thing. I may be left with my theology. I may be left with my church attendance, but that's not enough. I need God. And I say, oh Lord, my soul cleaves to the dust, but quicken me. Quicken me. So I don't only have a theological faith, but I have a living faith in the living God. So how does it work? You have the Word. You have the Spirit. Actually, there's two verses that are twins, if you like, connected to each other. One is in Colossians, one is in Ephesians. And they're similar, but they're different. Colossians says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks to Him. Now notice, they're similar, but they're different. One says, let the word dwell in you richly, and the other says, be filled with the Spirit. And both are important. It's not enough that I have the word without the Spirit or the Spirit without the word. God has given both of these as such important things in a believer's life, that there is the word, then there is the Spirit. There is the rhema. There is the quickening according to the word. And I say, oh, I've read this before, but oh, it's so fresh to me. For God is speaking to my heart. These are not just words on a page, but these are words from God for my life and my situation. And I am quickened once again. I'm brought to a place where I stand in awe of His word. Oh, I love this book. It's a secret. People don't know it, but I know it and I have it and I treasure it. Oh, I honor it in my life. It has such an important place. Because I realize my potential and I want to be quick and I want to walk with God. Psalm 119:61 says, the princes have persecuted me without a cause. Nevertheless, I stand in awe of your word. And I am like one who has found great treasure, great spoil. Oh, do we treasure his word? Is it like a great spoil to us? I think it is. For we have the word, we have the Spirit, we have the selah, the pause, the meditation, the pondering, the musing, and then the life. And then we say, oh, blessed is the man. Praise the Lord. And they are not empty words, but they are full words. They are words filled. Praise and worship and honor to our God. So I will bless the Lord at all times, Psalm 34:1 says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name forever. And the religious man would say, I don't understand. What do you mean? But the spirit-filled man says, oh, yes, I yearn for that. I crave for that. I pant after that. I need that because life is essentially spiritual. And this is not enough. But Lord, quicken me according to your word. I will say, blessed is the man, blessed is this man. Keep me, Lord, help me guard my heart. Help me never to lose the wonder that I would seek you every day and find you every day. So Father, we pray this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Spirit in us. We thank you for a living faith in the living God. No, our soul cleaves to the dust, but you quicken us again and again according to your word. Thank you, Lord. Perhaps there's someone here this morning or listening online, you're not sure of your salvation. You've heard things about Christianity, but you can't say for sure that Jesus is your personal Savior. Oh, but here is the good news. He loves you. He died for you. This is the gospel, that we are sinners, but yet he has such grace for us. He went to the cross for us, for you, for your sins, to give you salvation as a gift this day, this moment. And in your heart, just say, oh, Jesus, I put my faith in you. I trust you for my salvation. Thank you for saving me today by grace through faith. then we pray for all of the Christians gathered here and listening, or use these words to encourage us in our personal walk with you. Help us, keep us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to ask the deacons, socially distanced, to come and stand up here and face the congregation, if you could do that. And Jeff, would you mind coming up? And I'll ask Jeff to lead a prayer. If you could stand down there and just turn around, face the... Great. We have three with us today. Okay, a few meters apart, a few meters apart. There you go. And and Roland's coming. So we've got four with us today, and then we have one Owen also, which will be next week. So I'm going to ask Jeff to pray for these precious men, these four men plus Owen. And Ron, of course, is one of our serving deacons with us right now. And ask Jeff to pray for them. We're thankful for these men being available for the service and the ministry of the local church. So let's pray together. Yes. Yes, Richard is a serving deacon. And also we have Ian as an elder. You could come up if you like, and we'll just pray.
Father, we come as a congregation of your people this morning and give thanks that you have touched these men in a way that's come forward to be used in the extension of the gospel in this place, Lord, in this church, in this place of Peace Haven and Towson and the surrounding area. Father, we ask that you would give them wisdom in everything they have to do, that you will give them sensitivity in dealing with all those things that are necessary to each and every one of us as a church. We pray, Lord, that you would lift them up in spirit, that you would give each and every one of them a sense of your presence, of the Holy Spirit in their lives, that they may take up the challenge, Lord, for the work of the gospel, that they may be surrounded by your protection in everything that they deal with. Father, that they may be used powerfully for the extension of the gospel, that they may work as servants of your, of our Saviour Jesus in this place. Lord, give them a servant's heart. Give them not only a sense of your presence, but an expectation that you would use their gift that you've given to them. Oh, Father, be with them. Encourage them. Help us as elders and leaders of the church to be with them in every step that they take, that they may be encouraged by your work. Oh, Father, how we ask that they may seek your face, that they may understand your word, that they may seek to do the will of Jesus in this place. Oh, Father, bless each and every individual this morning. And may we as a congregation be helpful to them in their work, that we may not cause dissension or disagreement, but that we may too be very sensitive to the work that they've taken up in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, bless them, bless us as a fellowship. Move us into the future with expectation. Move us into the future with growth in understanding of the word and in people pouring into these doors. Father, bless your church, for we ask it all in the name of Jesus our Saviour. Hallelujah. Amen.